fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the May 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Four teams remain in contention for the National Basketball Association trophy after weekend playoff action. And the two most successful teams in NBA history, the Boston Celtics and the Los Angeles Lakers, are among them. The Lakers will visit the Denver Nuggets on Tuesday night in Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals, and the Celtics will host the Miami Heat Wednesday night in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals. The Celtics and the Lakers have each won 17 NBA championships. On Sunday, the Celtics eliminated the visiting Philadelphia 76ers with Boston's all-star forward Jason Tatum leading the way with a record Game 7 scoring performance. The AP's Gethin Coolbaugh reports from Boston.
A historic Game 7 performance by Jason Tatum has the Boston Celtics headed back to the Eastern Conference Finals. Tatum scored an NBA Game 7 record 51 points, and the Celtics blew out the 76ers 112-88 to advance to the Conference Finals for the fifth time in seven seasons.
Just being in another Game 7, being able to come back home in front of our fans, I was really excited. Just for the moment.
Tobias Harris led Philly with 19 points. Joel Embiid scored just 15 points, and James Harden was held to 9. Boston hosts Miami to open the conference finals Wednesday. Gethin Coolbaugh, Boston.
Thanks, Gethin. Like the Celtics, the Lakers advanced to the conference finals with a lopsided win. The Lakers trounced the defending champion Golden State Warriors 122-101 in Los Angeles, California. The AP's Dave Ferry tells us more.
It was a vintage performance by LeBron James, who delivered 30 points, 9 rebounds, and 9 assists for the 7th-seeded Lakers.
I was just felt pretty good about my game, like I do every night. And I just wanted to try to come in and, you know, make some plays and be efficient and defend at a high level, help AD rebound, help our team, you know, make winning plays. And I was able to make a few of them.
Anthony Davis had 17 points and 20 rebounds for L.A.
The time that they beat us, you know, they got a lot of offensive rebounds and kicking out to 4 threes or getting, you know, second chance points. So I just wanted to have emphasis on rebounding the basketball and limit their offensive rebounding. They got a couple, but I just wanted to make sure that I did my part in, you know, trying to get every rebound possible.
Austin Reeves chipped in 23 points, including a 54-footer at the halftime buzzer. Steph Curry led all scorers with 32 points, but missed 10 of his 14 three-point attempts for Golden State.
Just an opportunity to kind of take stock of where we're at, keep the confidence that we can, you know, come back and be back at this stage next year. So we're kind of in between disappointment, but still, you know, maintaining some pride about how we, you know, how we play this year.
Golly, we are here for the BAL Finals. For the best of African basketball. The Sahara and Nile Conference delivered their verdict. The top 8 teams on the continent are chasing the Holy Grail. Who will be the next BAL champion? It's game time.
It's game time, Kigali. The Men's Basketball Africa League playoffs tip off Saturday, May 20th in Kigali, Rwanda. 8 teams are chasing the Holy Grail, trying to become the next BAL champion. One of them is 2022 BAL finalist Petro de Luanda of Angola, which hopes to lift the trophy this time around. Petro will play Abidjan Basketball Club of Ivory Coast in a quarterfinal matchup on May 21st in Kigali. Now, Petro is coming off an impressive performance in Cairo, Egypt, where it won all 5 of its games in the Nile Conference to top the table. What were some of the key factors behind those five wins? That's the question Iron Mike Mbonye posed to Petro's head coach, Jose Neto.
I think these five wins are a consequence of our mindset, work ethic, and approach to each game as being the most important game, the final, if you will.
The Nile Conference of the Men's Basketball Africa League was very competitive. What's your assessment of other teams that took part in the conference?
After having played them, I keep the same view I had before. They are tough, they challenge and force us to play at our best. It's really up to us to make each game hard or not. It's how we play, how we approach the game, and the level of dedication, attention, and how much we bring into play, what we practice. I don't want to depend on anybody else besides ourselves, on what we can do. It comes down to reaching our full potential.
Coach, your team will meet another set of opposition at the Men's Basketball Africa League playoffs in Kigali, Rwanda. What are your expectations of the finals?
This is the time to apply everything we've worked on so far. It's time to showcase what we believe in, a winning mindset. If we rely on past success and sit on it, we won't go very far. It's win or go home now. The past success should be used as a booster to reach greater heights, not a comfortable chair to relax in and think the work is done. Whatever advantage we might have now coming in ends at tip-off. Let's not fool ourselves.
That's Jose Neto, the head coach of Petro de Luanda Basketball Club. And Coach Neto spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Luanda, Angola.
Sports greetings. This is José Neto, head coach of Petro de Luanda Basketball Club of Angola. You are listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Coach. And thanks also to Iron Mike Mbonye for that interview. Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. And check out some of the other VOA programs at voaafrica.com.
Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta joins us once again for a look at the weekend highlights in the major European club football leagues. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. Nigerian striker Taiwo Awoniyi netted twice to help relegation threatened Nottingham Forest secure a 2-1 draw against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. English striker of Jamaican descent Raheem Sterling also grabbed a brace for the Blues, who are currently 11th on the table with 43 points. Here's Chelsea's interim manager Frank Lampard's thoughts on his team's performance.
We understood exactly how Forest would come here. We've got results recently with very solid five at the back, good counter-attacking team. You have to be very wary of that. But when we had that much control of the ball in the first half, we need to do a lot more with it. So we can only look at ourselves and say, you know, the things we spoke about before the game we didn't do in the first half at the top end of the pitch. Too much sideways, passing, too much slow, not enough risk at the top end of the pitch. Maybe some of that is because players are not maybe at the performance levels they want to be at, so it's safe. But obviously we're Chelsea and we have to be more dynamic at the end of the pitch, more clinical, like Raheem was in the second half. So that means that you don't get a win when I think the game was there for us to win.
That's Chelsea's interim manager Frank Lampard discussing his team's draw against Nottingham Forest in the Premier League. Lampard is set to remain in charge, with former Tottenham boss Mauricio Pochettino set to take over as their next head coach at the end of the season. Anthony Martial and Alejandro Garnacho both netted to help Manchester United beat Wolves 2-0 at Old Trafford. The win moves the Red Devils back level with third place Newcastle on 66 points, while Wolves remain 13th with 40 points, 9 points clear of the bottom three. Here's Manchester United manager Erik ten Hag's thoughts on his team's performance.
I think we played a quite good game. Hot weather, circumstances heavy, but the players dealt with it. We got that first goal, but also we missed great opportunities, and once again we make the keeper from the opponent man of the match, and that's often the case. We have to be more clinical, then games are more easy, but I'm of course happy with today's win.
That's Manchester United manager Erik ten Hag discussing his team's win against Wolves in the Premier League. Alkay Gundogan scored twice, with Erling Haaland adding another to help leaders Manchester City secure a comfortable 3-0 win against Everton and solidify their lead at the top of the Premier League. It was an 11th straight win in the league, and Pep Guardiola's team needs just one more victory to be crowned champions for the third season in a row. The Toffees, meanwhile, are just a point above the relegation zone and in a desperate fight for survival after 69 years in the Premier League. City manager Pep Guardiola shared his thoughts on the match.
Since the first minute we controlled the game, except some transitions, we let them run with Iwobi, Calvert-Lewin, McNeil, but especially Dakure is a dangerous one. We'll come from more deeper. He's so difficult, and every corner and freak, especially corner, they are the best team in the Premier League since Sean Dyche appointment. So it was in Burnley, but he especially is almost a goal every time. Is you suffer a lot. Arsenal lose here for one corner, so I think it happened, but we had the patience, the momentum, and the movements from Riyad and Phil was really good in behind, and especially left side. In our left side, we have more chance to attack because they close most our right. And we scored the goals in the right moment.
That City manager Pep Guardiola discussing his team's win against Newcastle in the Premier League. Arsenal's Premier League title dream were also crushed as they suffered a 3-0 shocking loss against Brighton at the Emirates Stadium. Arsenal are currently second on 81 points with 2 games remaining. Gunners manager Mikel Arteta shared thoughts on his team's performance.
Really different feeling to the feeling that we all had after last Sunday, when we felt proud and we felt that we really did what it takes to win in certain moments, and today is completely the opposite. Today we have to apologize to our people, especially for the performance that we had in the second half.
That's Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta discussing his team's loss against Brighton in the Premier League. Aston Villa increased their chances to qualify for Europa League next season after beating Tottenham 2-1 thanks to strikes from Jacob Ramsey and Douglas Luiz. Hurricane scored Spurs' consolation goal late on from the penalty spot. The win marked Villa's first Premier League double over Tottenham since the 1995-1996 season. Here's Tottenham boss Ryan Mason assessing his team's performance.
Yes, again, because it's happened far too many times this season. To concede the first goal so early on in the game as well, it makes it difficult. I thought they were better than us in the first half. I mean, I don't think Fraser really made many big saves because he didn't have to, but they were definitely the team that had a bit more, and then in the second half I thought that changed. I felt like we was a team that were pushing a lot more, we had a big moment at 1-0 and their keepers pulled off an outstanding save, and then I don't know how long after it was, but they score from a free kick from 25-30 yards, so it's disappointing.
Then Tottenham manager Ryan Mason discussing his team's loss against Aston Villa in the Premier League. Moving on to the French League, French of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe scored twice, with Moroccan defender Achraf Hakimi, Fabian Ruiz and Mohamed Youssef's own goal helping Paris Saint-Germain secure a 5-0 home win against Ajaccio. The Parisians need 4 points from their final 3 games to secure a record 11th French League title win. 7-time Ballon d'Or winner Lionel Messi faced some jeers from a section of the home crowd after being suspended by the club for last weekend's match over an unauthorized trip to Saudi Arabia. Second place Lens also beat Hims 2-1 thanks to goals from Ivorian midfielder Sekou Fofana and Frankowski. Goals from Alexis Sanchez, Dimitri Payet and Jordan helped third place Olympique Marseille beat already relegated Angers 3-1 to maintain their hopes of securing a Champions League group stage spot. Monaco also battled to a 0-0 draw against Lille. And finally, in the Spanish La Liga, Robert Lewandowski's double helped Barcelona win their first La Liga title since the 2018-2019 season with a 4-2 home win against Espanyol. The win marked manager Xavi's first La Liga title after his appointment in November 2021. Barca have 85 points, 14 more than their nearest rivals Real Madrid, with only 4 games to spare. Marco Asensio also scored for the Los Blancos, who registered a 1-0 victory over Getafe. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nesta.
Thanks, Prince. Barcelona's title came 2 years after Lionel Messi left the club. The last time Barcelona celebrated a Spanish league title without Messi on its squad was back during the 1998-1999 season. Messi came into Barcelona's first team in 2004-2005. And yes, Barcelona won the title that season. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Around the clock, The Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news. Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week for the 5-minute VOA newscast. We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from across the world. Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hi guys, I'm Ferdinand Omanyala, the fastest man in Africa, African 100-meter record holder. And now you're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Ferdinand Omanyala ran to the year's fastest 100-meter time over the weekend at the Kipkano Classic meet in Nairobi. Samson Omale has that story and more African sports news.
The Kipkano Classic, this season's third World Athletics Continental Tour Gold meeting, took place in Nairobi on Saturday, where world leads were set, meeting records fell, and some major upsets happened. Ferdinand Omanyala brought a blistering end to the 2023 Kipkano Classic when the Commonwealth champion stormed to victory in a world-leading time of 9.84 seconds at the Kasarani Stadium in Nairobi, Kenya. The African 100 meters champion and record holder faced a strong field to win, reducing Americans Kenneth Benarek and Marvin Brazy Williams to second and third places. The result sealed back-to-back titles for the Kenyan and means he remains undefeated this year in the 100 meters.
I expected to break the African record, but it's like 0.07 shy of that. So I'm sure in the next race, we're going to cut it down.
In Algeria, Senegal under 17 national team survived a heart-wrenching penalty shootout to beat Burkina Faso 5-4 at the 19th May 1956 stadium in Annaba on Sunday to make their first ever under 17 Africa Cup of Nations final. The game was forced to penalties after a 1-1 draw in regulation time as Burkina Faso scored the equalizer in the 84th minute. The second semi-final between Morocco and Mali were also decided on penalties. Goalkeeper Taha Ben Hozel was a hero, 7-3 of 8 penalties as Morocco beat Mali 6-5 to make their first ever under 17 Africa Cup of Nations final. The finals will be played on Friday when Senegal will play Morocco. In squash news, the 2023 Lagos International Squash Classics was concluded on Saturday with Englishman Curtis Malik emerging champion of the men's event. He defeated Martin Svesh of Czech Republic 3-love in the final decided at the Samolade Okoya Thomas Indoor Sports Hall of the Teslim Balogun Stadium in Lagos. Malik had defeated younger sibling Perry 3-1 in the semis to set up the final clash against Svesh. Tori, sister to Katniss and Perry, made it a clean sweep for the Maliks when she defeated Egypt's Fatih Malik 3-love to claim the women's title at the tournament, which had $18,000 as prize money. And now to Morocco, where the North African country won gold in both the women and men's categories of the inaugural African Breakdancing Championships in Rabat on Saturday, securing the country two spots at the 2024 Paris Olympics. The men's final pitted fellow Moroccans B-Boys Billy and Twafik against each other, with Bilal Malahaka going on to win. Breakdance is one of the four new disciplines to be included in the Olympic Games in 2024, alongside climbing, surfing, and skateboarding. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. Meanwhile, breakdancing is breaking new ground with the sport's inclusion in the 2024 Paris Olympics. Scores of women are entering the traditionally male-dominated activity. Aaron Rainin tells us more from New York City.
At the worldwide Red Bull One Breakdancing Championship in New York City, male and female competitors from around the globe vie for a top spot in a sport that's soon to be part of the 2024 Olympics. The roots of breakdancing can be traced to the inner cities of America during the 1970s and 80s, when mostly African-American and Latino men challenged each other on the streets for dominance.
An American dance that is truly comes from here. When you begin to understand breaking and you learn its history, you learn that it comes from the Bronx. It came from impoverished communities where kids didn't have much. They utilized this dance as a form of self-expression. And when you travel around the world and you hit different communities, you see that this is giving them a voice.
This male-dominated dance has evolved into a sport welcoming all sexes. Since 2018, the Red Bull Championship event has included a separate category for women and seen a huge push by these competitors known as B-Girls. Sunny Choi, 34, is the current North American B-Girl breakdancing champion.
There's always been women in the community, always been women kind of fighting for their place in the community. And to see so many women participating now, I mean, I think it's just generally healthier and overall for the community as well to have a little bit more gender balance.
Amid preparations for the 2024 Olympics, the current generation of B-girls is aware of the responsibilities and pressures they will face in Paris.
Being the first women in the Olympics is going to mean a lot to so many other girls who are watching, but also means a lot to everybody in the community, because it's on us to advocate for ourselves along this journey because it's the first time.
For Choi, breakdancing can help our society to not just identify, but understand and grasp gender roles better.
It really means a lot to see so many women so strong, doing so many amazing things up there, and just being able to stand their own, you know, it feels good.
Sunny and her fellow dancers, while on their journey to the Olympics, are sure to inspire the next generation of B-girls. Aaron Rainin for VOA News, New York City.
This is Sunny Sato Sports.
Hi, I am Chinua Adofo in Washington. To help you start your day, VOA Africa brings you Africa in Brief, roundups of the latest news from across the continent. We'll start your day off with news you need when you need it. Find Africa in Brief at 0400, 0500 and 0600 UTC wherever you listen to your favorite VOA Africa radio program.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In auto racing, American William Byron won the Goodyear 400 at Darlington Raceway in South Carolina. The AP's Jerry Jordan reports.
Opportunity knocked and William Byron kicked the door down, taking advantage of a late race kerfuffle between leader Ross Chastain and Kyle Larson as they battled over the same real estate on the track and both crashed, bringing out the caution.
There's a line, right? Like, we all have pedals and steering wheels, so there's a way to give it back, and I just saw a lot of wrecking today.
Byron surged ahead on the restart, driving away from Kevin Harvick to win the NASCAR Cup Series race at Darlington Raceway.
I don't think we really thought we could win in the first restart when there was that big wreck. Then we started to get a glimmer of hope, and then we started to go to work on, okay, what are the things we need to do to win it?
Harvick overcame a difficult running car to finish second.
My car just was tight, and I knew all the cars around me were wounded, so kind of holding on there at the end.
Admitting that he didn't have enough speed to pass Byron on the final restart. Finishing third was Chase Elliott. I'm Jerry Jordan.
Thanks, Jerry. Meanwhile, Darlington Raceway continued its celebration of NASCAR's 75th anniversary with a gathering of 33 of those named as its 75 greatest drivers. The honorees included 95-year-old Herschel McGriff. The Hall of Fame driver competed in the first Southern 500 race in 1950. Herschel drove from his home in Oregon to rural South Carolina, running the race and finishing ninth before taking the car back home across the country. McGriff says, and I quote, "I just can't get away from racing. I'm 95, so I've got a few years left." The Australian Jason Day has a few good years left on the professional golf tour. Day was victorious for the first time in 5 years at the Byron Nelson Tournament in Texas. The AP's Graham Agars reports.
Jason Day has broken a 5-year winless drought after posting a come-from-behind win at the AT&T Byron Nelson Tournament in Texas.
I feel like, you know, the swing is moving in the right direction to the point where I can just go at it as hard as I want. You know, as the competitor, you know, that I have inside me, I kept on visualizing myself in the winner's circle again, and it was nice to be able to sit here today a winner.
The 35-year-old's Mother's Day victory honored the memory of his late mother with a stunning final round blemish-free 9-under-62 that lifted him to 23-under, securing it with a 2-foot birdie on the last.
After this week, yeah, I know that I can win. There's a few subtle things that I have to change technically to feel like I can actually come out and dominate and play very consistent golf, like, you know, the likes of Rahm and Scotty Scheffler that's playing some tremendous golf, and obviously Rory as well.
Siwoo Kim closed with a 63 to join Austin Eckroat in second place, one shot back. It was Day's second Byron Nelson win and brought up his 13th career victory. I'm Graham Agars.
Voice of America is a proud broadcasting partner of the Men's Basketball Africa League, which tips off its playoffs on Saturday, May 20th in Kigali, Rwanda. Please join us this week and next week for special BAL coverage. VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thank you for tuning in. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.